I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us on yet another episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. We might not be a People's Choice nominee. We might not be Ben or Ashley I, but damn it, we're here every week and we love doing it. Joined in studio by my good friend Jared, who is back from his honeymoon.
We are going to dive
into the bellows and understand exactly what you guys have been doing for the past couple of weeks. It's been so long since I've seen you. You're tan. You're all of this, the sun-kissed skin. The facial hair, it somehow got thicker. You are looking fantastic. Vanessa obviously is in her apartment in Montreal as well. And we're just going to go from there. We're kind of flying from the seat of our pants today.
When was the last I Suck at Dating podcast with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared all on at the same time?
Been quite a while.
Right before his wedding, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last time we recorded all together was Tahoe.
Wow.
Yeah, quite the extensive period of time.
And Tahoe was about a month and a half ago, right? So yeah, here we are. So Jared.
Jared, I got to say, you look really good with the ring on your finger.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Oh,
I appreciate it. I know.
Look
there it is. Shining, glimmering.
Wow. How does it feel?
Glistening. Feels good. Feels normal.
Do you take it off at
feels
night
like
when
I should have been
sleep?
Wearing this ring for a while.
Nice. Uh-huh. Do you take it off when you sleep?
Yeah, I already lost it once. Well, actually, technically, I didn't lose it. I misplaced it because I found it.
I don't know how that. I don't know if that's
long story short.
That's not airtight logic.
We were in New York after we came back from our honeymoon. We had to be in New York for a few days. Ashley was recording Almost Famous. I went to go to Barnes and Noble, walked around, went to go reach for a book. Noticed that my ring was not there. Now the thing about my ring, it's a little loose, and when my hand gets wet, it becomes very slippery and falls off easily. I was very aware of this on the honeymoon. I was very conscious of this, so I made sure to like always have my hand in a fist. But then, so I reached for a book in Barnes & Noble. My ring wasn't there. I had a panic attack because we were about 10 blocks from the hotel, so I was thinking I could have lost it within any span of time. But then I was thinking rationally and thought, okay, it had to have slipped off when I was either in the shower or washing my hands. So I immediately went back to the hotel, checked the shower floor, wasn't there. Checked the sink, wasn't there. Had another mini panic attack until I noticed to the right of the sink, right on the counter, was my wedding ring. And so housekeeping, shout out to Knickerbocker Housekeeping for keeping my ring on the counter. They must have saw it either on the shower floor or the sink.
You don't think you took it off and set it there and just forgot?
No, I would have remembered.
So when you go to bed at night, you take it off and put it on the nightstand?
No, I keep it on. I always keep it on, yeah.
Why don't you just get a size a little bit better?
I'm going to.
Oh.
We've been away.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
So anyway. So,
I never take mine off, just for the record. I don't know why anybody takes theirs off. I never take mine off.
You get a dent if you don't take it off.
Yeah, I want that dent. That dent's a good
thing. I kind of do, too. It's like a permanent wedding ring, you know?
Aw, you're so cute.
I have friends who are married that take theirs off to like rock climb and like things that require you to use your hands.
I'll give you rock climbing, sure.
You don't want to lose a finger in case it gets caught. I was going to take it off while working out, or I should say attempting to work out. But then I've gotten used to it. South Beach diet, baby. Always about it.
So tell us about your honeymoon. You went to Positano, to Santorini.
Yeah, so we left immediately after the wedding. We got married on a Sunday, left on that Monday because that's what Ashley always wanted. Left, flew to...
And I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off there. I just have a question. So is that,
I have an answer.
Is that typical for married couples to do, or do you typically stay around in the venue area for a couple days and then leave?
I think traditionally you leave pretty immediately. I don't know. This is what Ashley wanted to do. I think traditionally, you usually leave for the honeymoon pretty immediately. And you know what? It's really up to the couple, I think. But we left immediately, flew into Naples, and then went to Amalfi Coast.
Naples, Florida?
Naples, Florida is great. Drove up to Orlando, went to Disney World. That would have been the honeymoon I wanted. No. Italy was fantastic. We went to Amalfi Coast, went to Positano, and then we took a ferry to Capri, and Capri was absolutely gorgeous, which is an island off the coast of Italy. And then we flew to Santorini in Greece, which was absolutely breathtaking. Spent 5 days there.
Stay in Ia? Ia?
Ia, no, we stayed outside of Ia. We were only about a 10-minute drive from there, so we went to Ia many times. You know, we had this sunset cruise that we did for a day, which was breathtaking. And it was just an incredible time. It was really nice. Ashley was spot on when she said she wanted to do that because she wanted to feel like husband and wife, like a married couple. She didn't want to get married and then go immediately back home because we had the opportunity to go on a honeymoon. And of course, we wanted to take advantage of it. And she was absolutely right because it did feel different.
Like a honeymoon.
Yeah, because, you know, everybody, as soon as they find out that you're on your honeymoon, immediately treat you differently or give you coupons for free drinks or like, oh my God, congratulations, you guys are just married and let me see the rings. And so it was quite an experience and it was truly one of the best 2 weeks of my life.
Did you fly first class?
Well, that's a personal question.
Well, it's a question.
We did, though. Luckily, knock on wood. Not the entire trip, but we were able to, the long stretches from here over to Naples, we were able to get it's business class. It's different.
The reason I ask is because I just watched the Friends episode where Monica and Chandler are on their honeymoon and a couple ahead of them gets upgraded to first class for free because they say that they're on their honeymoon.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
We didn't get upgraded. No. We just, you know, paid.
Yeah.
Actually, ironically, though, Ashley's sister Lauren and her boyfriend got upgraded to first class when they flew back to Los Angeles randomly.
Nice.
Yeah. So it kind of worked out for them. But the honeymoon was awesome.
Your pictures looked amazing.
Yeah, it was an incredible time. And honestly, her and I just really relaxed the entire time. We did a little bit of sightseeing, a little bit of traveling, but I think... we didn't want our honeymoon to be bouncing around from place to place and feel like we had an itinerary. We really just wanted to relax and enjoy our time together and eat and lay out by the pool and drink and you know, be romantic and all that.
Well, yeah, 5 days in Santorini is a lot because Santorini is a small island.
It is.
And so like it's great that you can just kind of relax and unwind.
Really unwind, which was great. You know, and it was just an incredible time that I'll never forget. And the wedding was just absolutely stunning and the best weekend of my life.
This is your first podcast episode post-wedding, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was the best weekend of my life.
So we should probably dive into that a little bit, too. What was the highlight of the honeymoon specifically, though?
Highlight of the honeymoon... wow, there's so many of them.
Whether it's location or dinner or like...
our favorite... Well, honestly, our favorite dinner... probably was this small restaurant that we went to in Capri. So the hotel that we stayed at was in the middle of this little village where we could go and walk around. There'd be little shops and coffee and espresso and restaurants. And so we went to this restaurant one night that was just, it was a small little nook and the food was incredible. Of course, we got two pasta dishes and the pasta there is outrageously good because it's all...
Did you feel like you were less bloated after you had pasta?
Yeah. Ashley actually did some research into this because you don't, you know, when you eat a huge bowl of pasta over here, you know, your stomach's full, you feel bloated, you feel gross, and you just want to lay down. Over there, you don't feel bloated at all, and it doesn't feel like you ate this huge heap of pasta with sauce. And it's apparently because there's no, you know, pesticides. And it's less processed. It's all organic there. So the pasta was so fresh and tasted amazing. And it was just, that was probably one of my favorite dinners and one of the highlights. And Capri itself, I think, was the highlight for us.
Wait, so the dinner in Capri and Capri. So all in all, Capri was just the...
I think Capri was our favorite. Uh-huh. Santorini was stunning, though. All three places.
Yeah, breathtaking.
Yeah. And the Amalfi Coast was incredible as well. But the resort that we stayed at, we had a room which was kind of located down by the water. And obviously, it was on a cliff. And so in order to get to our room from the hotel every day, we had to walk about 200 steps.
So it's like a workout.
Oh, it was a workout. Yeah. And they're not easy steps. Right. Those are, you know, each step is about
awkwardly
three
sized.
Foot, you know, it's about 3 feet wide.
And they're like, and it's so you're trucking. It's not the same size step every time. It's like it's probably like a different size step.
Yeah.
Every time, right?
You know, it's obviously rocky and different levels. And so we certainly got our steps in there. And I felt really bad because our last day, of course, the hotel really wants to take care of you. Mm-hmm. And we had two suitcases with us. And so
I
there
saw
were,
that.
Yeah, the guys, this guy who looked like Ivan Drago from Rocky IV, literally threw two over his shoulder and just walking up the steps as if he's Hercules.
Yeah, those guys are crazy. I mean, they do that every day. So, like, obviously they get used to it and they just like build a tolerance or whatever. But yeah, you always see them and then you're like, God, that's impressive.
Yeah. But I think, honestly, probably the highlight as well was our first dinner in Amalfi, just because it was our first dinner. On our honeymoon, we had a breathtaking view. So that was probably one of the highlights as well.
Did you guys stop in New York on the way there, on the way back, or
on the way back?
Oh, and you went to a Jonas Brothers concert.
Well, yes, Ashley wanted to go to the Jonas Brothers concert because we had to go to New York for a few days anyway. And then, of course, she timed it perfectly where the Jonas Brothers were in town that day. So we went to the Staples Center and saw the Jonas Brothers perform, and they put on a great show. They're musically talented. They put on a good show. I enjoyed myself. It was funny, though, because I was surrounded by girlfriends or wives with their significant others as well, who probably were in the same boat as me, where it's like, I'm enjoying myself. I'm having fun. They're losing their shit. but I'm having a good time.
I will say I do admire your willingness to go along with Ashley to those types of things.
I mean, she's been to so many Rob Thomas concerts. Come on.
But I'm sure she likes Rob Thomas.
Yeah, she does. It's a little bit more musical. Musically, he is more both of our style. Jonas Brothers. I very much enjoy Sucker. That's a fantastic song.
I'll be honest, I couldn't name a single Jonas Brothers song. But
you know Sucker. It's the one that's on the radio all the time now.
I don't listen to the radio. I don't have radio in the van.
That doesn't shock
me.
Very
insulting to those of us in the radio industry.
iHeart studio right now. Yeah, I don't listen to the radio.
So did you feel like you had more privacy while you were in Europe on your honeymoon?
Yeah. I mean, a couple of people came up to us that were also on their honeymoon, which was really sweet. A couple people were saying, we know that you just got married. We just got married. So it was this really nice moment between us. But all in all, no. Yeah, it was very secluded and private, which was really nice. Ashley and I really had some time to try to soak in every moment of the honeymoon, because that's, you know, it's never going to happen again. We only have one. So we really tried to make sure that we enjoyed every second of it and just collected as many memories as we possibly could and just really live in the moment. And we tried to do that, honestly, from the entire time when we flew into Rhode Island up until, you know, when we flew back to New York when it was all said and done.
Because so, you guys were gone for, what, 2 weeks?
We were in Europe for 12 full days.
It's a long time.
It was a long time. We wanted to make sure that we, you know, it's a long flight. It's about 10 hours. And so we really wanted to try to make sure that we could extend it as long as possible, because with such a long flight, we wanted to make sure we
get your time's worth.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, I mean, this was only my second time to Italy. I've only been there once before, and that was in 2009. Ashley hadn't been there in, I think, 15 years. So it's not like we were able to go to Italy every other weekend.
Yeah.
So it was really kind of one of those moments where we wanted to take advantage of our time, because we have no idea when the next time we'll ever be in Italy. And it was the first time I was ever in Greece. Granted, it was Santorini, so it's the island, but I had never been in Greece before.
Did you fly into Santorini Airport, or did you fly into Athens and then take the boat up?
No. So we flew from Capri, from Naples right into Santorini, which a lot of people were flabbergasted by.
How shitty is Santorini's airport?
Small.
It's the worst airport I've ever been to in my life.
No customs either.
No customs. I had I remember.
What?
I flew out of Santorini.
Just flew right in and walked right into the country.
What, Mark? Why is Mark laughing over there?
It's so relatable. Oh my gosh, Santorini, Italy is the worst airport I've ever been to.
You uncultured swine. Santorini is in Greece, not in Italy.
Oh, sorry, Greece.
It's small. What'd you hate about it so much? What's your beef with Santorini Airport, bro?
My experience with it was I had a flight out of Santorini Airport at 3 a.m. and I got there at 1 a.m. and at 1:05 a.m. I got an email saying my flight was delayed 7 hours.
Oh.
And so I had to stay in the shitty airport for an extra 7 hours.
I saw you post about that.
I was very upset.
That's a bad one. That is a bad... How can you delay a flight 7 hours?
I was not happy. But it ended up working out at the end of the day. But okay, so what did you miss most while you were traveling?
What did I miss most?
Right, because like you're away from your home, your routine.
I think I missed two things, really. One, I missed our dog, Lois. She's our child. So we really missed her. And then secondly, I really missed being with my family, our family, after the wedding, because it was such a moment and a night and a weekend that I really wanted time to just spend with everybody that was involved, you know, her parents, my parents, siblings, friends, family, and just like be like, and just talk about it.
It's got to be such an interesting contrast to go from the wedding, which is your friends, your family, and you're like all spending time together consistently for the course of the weekend, to then just you and Ashley for 12 days in a row.
Yeah.
It's like you're surrounded by all of these people all the time, and then all of a sudden it's just you and Ashley. You know, like that's got to be weird, I would imagine.
Actually, no, it wasn't really that weird. No. I think Ashley and I are so comfortable with each other and just being around each other all the time now that it's really second nature.
Just like an adjustment, I guess, maybe. But yeah, I'm not saying that it was weird for you and Ashley. Just like to go from the smothering and like all of this attention from all the people being at your wedding, which I want to talk. Let's talk about your wedding too, because obviously it was beautiful and it's funny.
Yeah, did you have fun?
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I mean, I haven't really talked to you about it. I mean, we've talked since, but not like, I haven't asked you if you had fun yet.
I still can't get over how much fun I had.
All right, good.
I was like, kind of like, oh, got to go to a wedding. I'm never really a big fan of weddings, but then I was there and I was like, holy cow, this is like one of the most beautiful things I've ever been to. And I've talked about it to my friends who, like obviously removed from Bachelor Nation. One friend in particular who was like a big, Disney fan, and you guys played a lot of Disney songs at the reception. And she was like losing her shit. And I was like, yeah, you should have seen the setup. It looked just like it was straight out of Beauty and the Beast's castle.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were playing like the Disney music on top of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a blast. My only complaint, if you were to come to me and have like a Dean, give me one thing that you didn't like about the wedding.
I'm not asking that.
I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
It just ended too early.
Well, the problem
what
was...
What time did it end?
It ended at... It ended at midnight, so we had everybody leave at 11:45, which is not early.
It's not early, but I'm just saying, like, I was having so much fun, I wanted it to go longer.
No, that was what we wanted. You know, we were supposed to end an hour early, and that night we extended it an hour.
Oh, wow.
Because the cocktail party was going long, because pictures were taking long, which I feel like anybody who's ever gotten married can relate to, that, of course, pictures are taking longer than they're supposed to. But we extended it, and that's awesome that you said that. And probably one of the best compliments that anybody paid to me throughout the entire night was that so many people came up and said, this is the most Ashley and Jared wedding we could have possibly imagined, which really felt the world to me, because Ashley and I worked so hard throughout the past year with our wedding planner, Troy Williams, whose company is called Simply Troy, which I find fantastic. You met him. He's a bald gay man who's just the most fantastic human being you'll ever meet in your entire life. And his company is called Simply Troy because everything's simply. Like, he's just simply grateful.
He did a great job. Which I find
hysterical.
He worked his ass off, too. He did a great job.
Oh, he was incredible. And his entire wedding team was just phenomenal. And he did such a good job of letting Ashley and I really incorporate our personalities at this wedding. Like you talk about the music, every song that played was picked out by Ashley and I.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, had the band play. We were just like, can you please play these songs? And they're like, yeah, sure, this is great. And then with DJ Jack, who is Lauren's boyfriend, we asked the same thing, like, you play the songs, then he was able to put the mix together. And then during the dinner, we had the string quartet play musical movie themes, which was awesome.
Oh my God, this sounds so amazing.
Yeah, it was just, we wanted to make sure we put details in there that meant the world to Ashley. And I even, for example, during the ceremony, we had two readings, but they weren't your traditional readings. They were movie readings, and people can give us crap for that. I don't really care, because it was what Ashley and I wanted. Yeah. And one of them was, so we had one bridesmaid and one groomsman go up and do a reading from a movie. And the first one was the finale scene from Jerry Maguire, where he comes in, I'm looking for my wife. And then that was fantastic. And then we had to do another reading from When Harry Met Sally, where, of course, he goes to the New Year's Eve party and confesses his love for Meg Ryan's character.
And Nick did a great job with that, too.
Nick dominated it. It was awesome. Also, I just want to point out this, like, it's kind of awkward that I'm talking about the wedding because of the history between Vanessa and I. And Vanessa, I hope you don't feel awkward about talking about it.
Not at all. I was watching your stories, and I found it absolutely amazing. And like I said, it just ended up happening that weekend too is my grandmother's funeral.
Oh my God! I texted you after.
It was just I absolutely loved watching your stories and hearing watching everyone else's reactions to the whole experience, from like even when Ashley was trying on wedding dresses to seeing her final pick of her wedding dress was like, oh my God, I'm sure all the girls that were following her were so amazed by her dress and like everything that you guys put together. So absolutely no hard feelings at all. I love hearing these stories. But thank you for pointing that out.
No, I it's weird because I just, Ashley was, she looked breathtaking, and just that entire day. You know, like I think back on memories, it's only been a month, but like us playing football on the beach. And then, of course, you know, Cupcake getting hurt. I just felt horrible. Yeah. But like that was so much fun. And then the rehearsal dinner was so much fun. And then the day of just hanging out the house. I mean, you don't remember any of that, but.
Because I slept in until like 3.
Oh, that was fantastic. It was like 4 p.m. The ceremony is an hour and a half. And it's like, all right, so we got to get Dean.
It's because I remember the night before we went out to O'Brien's.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, tonight's like the last night. Jared's a single man. I'm going to get him as drunk as possible. I'm like buying shots for I don't think you were taking the shots.
I took two shots.
Right. Well, so my goal was to get you as drunk as possible. But in reality, I got myself as drunk as possible.
Well, because you kept going. You were like, I'm getting another shot. And I was like, I'm good.
Yeah.
And then you're like, all right, I'll be back. And I was like, wow, he's taking another one. Good God. Good for you. No, I'm glad that everybody had fun. And I even think back on that moment right before we went into the church all together, when it was just us groomsmen in the side room, and Alon was there as well, Alon Gale, who officiated our wedding. It's just like moments like that.
You're so nervous.
I was so nervous. I was just so overwhelmed with so many different emotions because it's such a weird feeling, and anybody who's been married can relate to this, where everybody in that room is only there for you.
Yeah.
Celebrating your love. And it's so many people, different walks of my life, that it's just... This, like, like you were there with my dad and
all your friends from like high school and stuff.
Yeah. And Nick was there with, you know, you know, not only my father, who's my best man, but like my friends from school and high school. And just like it was this surreal moment where so many people that have been so close with me from all different aspects of my life now are all together in one room. And it's everything I ever wanted.
Right.
And I'm marrying my best friend. It was just, it was cool. It was really
crying,
cool,
man.
It was cool, man. I know I talk a lot about it, but I don't care if people think that I'm talking too much about it, because it was just, it was one of those weekends, you know, one of those days.
I think it'd be weirder if you didn't talk about it.
Yeah, I guess. Right. You know? If I was like, yeah, it was cool. Moving right along.
Which honestly, like if and when I get married, it's probably what I'm going to do. Yeah, I got married, whatever. Let's not talk about it anymore. Just, and that's probably going to be an issue. So it's good that you're so jazzed about it. I think that's a good thing.
I guess.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's a lot of listeners who are either planning on getting married or they are engaged, or I'm in a position where like I feel like the person that I'm with is the person that I want to spend the rest of my life with. What is a piece of advice that you can give to us listeners, to the listeners who are taking that extra step? And if you were to go back and say, you know what, we spend too much time thinking about this for the wedding, not important. Like, what's something that you can say was helpful to do? I'm sure like having a wedding planner was really helpful. What's something that you thought, well, there was no point of thinking about this or stressing out over this?
I think my best advice is to make it your own as much as possible, and don't worry about what anybody's going to think. Or you know, just do what you want to do. Because Ashley and I were a little, we were stressed about a lot of things because we worked really hard on the wedding with our wedding planner. And we spent a lot of money on it. And we were very stressed about that and curious, what is it going to be worth it? It's one day of our lives and this is what we're putting into it. And looking back on it, it was worth every second of effort. It was worth every dollar we spent, because it just created a memory that I can't tell you how grateful I am for. So that would be my advice, is to make, you know, it's everything that you're stressing about right now during the wedding planning, or if you will stress, during wedding planning, it's all going to be worth it. It's all going to be worth it, you know? And personalize it, you know, like if you're spending money, if you want, like, don't be afraid to ask. I remember when we were asking the band, we kind of felt a little, I don't want to say self-absorbed, but awkward to say, hey, can you play these songs? And then we were thinking about it. Let's just do it. Let's just ask. And they were like, yeah, of course we can play those songs. No worries. And then every song that was played there, every song that came on, it was like, oh, I love this song. Oh, I love this song. And then, you know, and then even like the movie readings, you know, we knew people were going to be like, oh, God, they're having movie lines. And it was like, well, that's what we want. And everybody seemed to really enjoy it. And it was fun and it was emotional. And we put so many of our details into it, even like simple things like our invitations, on the outside of the envelope, it said A and J with the Superman symbol around it. Which I don't think a lot of people picked up on, but it was something that was so meaningful to me, to be like, oh, instead of the S in there, it's the A and J, you know? And so we just had a lot of fun with it. And so that's my best advice is, yep, it's definitely going to be more expensive than you think. And there's going to be payments that you have to make at last minute that you're going to stress out about. And it's going to seem that like nothing is coming together. And is it going to be worth it? And I promise you, it all will be worth it, because when that day comes and you're with the people that you love the most, and they're there celebrating you and your love, there is not a feeling like it in this world that I have yet to experience, which, you know, I'm sure will be topped if, you know, Ashley and I are, you know, lucky enough to have kids one day. For the moment it was, even my dad came up to me. So I got to see him before we flew out on Monday, and he said it was one of the highlights of his life.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
no money could ever match, you know, hearing that from your dad.
I guess one final question, the one that we're all dying to know.
Oh, God.
It's not about sex, Jared. And that's where your mind goes.
Did Dean hook up with anybody at the wedding?
I kissed Nick. Yeah.
Ooh.
I kissed Ben, too.
Pretty sure you kissed me on the lips one time.
I definitely kissed you. There's just something about me when I'm drunk and I'm around my friends. All I want to do is kiss them.
Yeah.
That's not the question we're asking.
Oh, my God.
The question we're all dying to know is, under your tuxedo at the wedding while you were reciting your vows, were you wearing a Love Man shirt?
No.
Oh.
I should have. We wanted to name one of the drinks Love Man, but then it was, actually, I'll tell a quick story. So Caitlin came, yeah. Caitlin and Jason, and I forgot that I had said this on my first season of Paradise, but we were going to name one of the drinks, the specialty drinks, Love Man.
Yeah.
And then apparently my first season of Paradise, I said, I'm not Love Man anymore because that was for Caitlin. And then I remembered it while making the drinks and I was like,
that would be weird, yeah.
Well, we can't name one of the drinks that anymore.
Right, right.
But yeah, one more thing about the wedding. I was so happy it was in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so glad that people came and loved Newport Rhode Island.
Beautiful.
It's spectacular, man.
It was like it's like the type of town, like if you were to pull someone out of any country in the world and you were like, you need to show them a town that, that mimics America or that like, that shows you what America looks like. Right. I just feel like it's like a very quintessential American town where you can just like be there and be like, okay, like this is like a, it's like the Victorian houses or whatever, and like the ruffles with the red, white, and blue on them, on the white picket fences on the top floor of the house. I don't know. It was mind-blowing. It was beautiful.
It is, man. It's just home, you know, and that's why I'm so happy that we were able to have our wedding, you know, home. And I'm so glad everybody loved Newport and enjoyed it. And I'm so glad the weather was nice and cooperated because that was really a game changer. And that was another thing that I loved about the entire wedding process was making sure that Rhode Island, my home, was incorporated in it. Even with, you know, we had Dunkin' Donuts there, where people
Shake
took
Shack.
Shake Shack was there, which is obviously West Coast, but Shake Shack that we didn't know Shake Shack was coming. Hmm. They surprised us. So shout out to Shake Shack for doing that. And then like everybody took professional photos, which they all received, but they also were, I don't know how they did this. They took the photos and were able to print them on donuts. And then everybody got a donut leaving the wedding, which was spectacular.
And delicious.
And delicious. And then we had like Adele's lemonade dessert, which is very quintessential in Rhode Island. The bartender, Adam, is one of my really good friends who I used to work with at the Providence Oyster Bar. And he's the best bartender I ever have seen, and he came and bartended the wedding because I wanted everybody to have like a VIP experience, and I knew he would provide that. And just like to have all those like little details in there, and there were far more that I can't remember now, but just to really like hit home was something that meant a ton to me.
Well, we love it. We love you. It's great that you were able to experience that. We're grateful to be part of that as well through the podcast.
No, I know. I love you both guys, and I'm really glad.
You're married now.
I'm married.
You
I'm a husband.
Dating. You upgraded from sucking at dating to hopefully not sucking at being married.
Yes.
This week is your 1 month anniversary.
It was yesterday. Yesterday was 4 weeks since we got married.
You made it a month.
Made it a month.
That's, I mean, if I was a betting man, I don't think you would have made it this far.
A lot of people said no way out of a month.
I know. Anybody lose money in this room right now?
Anyways.
Come on, let's be honest. Easton's pulling out his wallet right now.
I'm happy for you guys.
Anyways, we'll definitely be drawn back to this quite a bit just because obviously it's super interesting. And it's a big part of your life now. So, but before, well, I guess not before anything, we are going to move on to the next segment.
Dean, we need to talk about you because you've been on a TV show. You just came back to it. You asked the woman, I don't know if you love her, but you really like her, to leave Paradise with you. And we find out the answer when we get back.
So, I can totally relate to this. So I've recently made a little bit of a story and an ad out there on Instagram talking about how I wanted to hire some interns. And let me tell you, it is hard to recruit people. It's a definite challenge. And as Quotable co-founder Gretchen Huebner discovered, they needed to hire a game artist for her education tech company. She knew it wasn't going to be an easy find. So she decided to go with ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. So you get qualified candidates really quick. Gretchen posted her job on ZipRecruiter and said she was impressed with how quickly she found qualified applicants. She also used ZipRecruiter screening questions to filter her candidates so she could focus on the best ones. And that is how Gretchen now has a new game artist in less than 2 weeks. And this is a true story. Like I said, I've been looking for interns and I know how hard it is to find the right fit. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. That's amazing. Within the first day.
It's pretty crazy. That's why ZipRecruiter is amazing. And you can see why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes, big, small, medium, van size. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/date. That's ZipRecruiter.com/date. ZipRecruiter.com/date. The smartest way to hire. Welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. Vanessa, Dean, myself, all in studio. And Dean, we have to talk about you because now we've seen you leave Paradise, come back to Paradise, ask for Kaylin back after you broke up with her when you gave her the birthday cake. A lot of things going out. A lot of things happening.
Why do you have to remind them of the birthday cake thing? The birthday breakup.
Was it really a bad... Well, I thought it was nice you gave her the cake. I don't know. I also think that was overblown.
What's happening? Stop it.
Stop with the mic thing?
Yeah.
Sorry, I just wanted to get in position.
Okay.
He's getting nervous.
He's getting nervous. I thought the whole birthday cake was overblown. Like, at least you were truthful.
What do you... The birthday cake?
The whole leaving on her birthday. I don't know why people...
Let me just set the record straight, because there seems to be a lot of miscommunication about what actually happened.
Okay, let's hear it.
I dumped her at 3 a.m. the day after her birthday. It was no longer her birthday, and I am so sick of being criticized for dumping a girl on her birthday when it wasn't even her birthday.
But I guess the question is, should you have just... what would have been worse? You either telling the truth in the moment or holding off till the next day and then possibly maybe not getting another chance to be honest? Is that...
I'll say this.
I think you did the right thing.
I didn't go into the night expecting to break up with Kaylin that night. I think I can share that.
What made you want to break up with her?
Well, Vanessa, I'll get there. I'm building it up a little bit. I'm trying to tell a story here. I'm a storyteller. I went in that night. Let's reverse engineer this all the way from the beginning. So I walked down to Paradise, said I didn't want to be in a relationship with anyone. I was very clear about that. Not only with Kaylin, but with everyone on the beach, the contestants, the producers. The entire time I was like, yeah, like I'm just here. I'm not going to leave as a boyfriend. I'm not going to leave with a girlfriend.
So obviously it begs the question, why even go to Paradise?
Which we've talked about before. I went because it was fun.
Exactly.
It was a fun thing to do.
And there's nothing wrong with doing that. For example, when you go on a date with someone, sometimes you always don't go into a date with the expectations, oh, I'm going to develop a relationship with this person. You go because you meet someone and it's fun and you never know what's going to happen.
Right. Why would you say no to an opportunity just because you like... It's silly to say no to things. I didn't have any...
Exactly.
It's not like... It doesn't matter. I didn't miss out on anything by not going. So what's the point of not going? That's the point. It was a very well-known fact that me being on that beach was just there to have a good experience. And
you were honest from the very moment you walked down.
With everyone. With Kaylin, with the contestants, with the producers. Everyone knew that. And it got to a point where, you know, at this point, after dumping Kaylin, which I think we talked about on a podcast a couple weeks ago, was, you know, I was on the beach for like 6 days. Kaylin was getting really, really invested in the relationship. I liked her, but I knew very well that I wasn't going to leave the beach in a relationship with her. And because of that, and knowing, I guess I could say this too, is like even within the first 10 minutes of meeting Kaylin the first time, she told me that the person she was most excited to meet was Connor S.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated the honesty. I appreciated her telling me that. And I knew that Connor S. still was slotted to come down to that beach at some point. And I knew that if I was on the beach with her and him at the same time, she wouldn't be able to fully explore that relationship that she so clearly expressed that she was interested in exploring. And I knew that Connor liked her. Like, I knew that they would have hit it off. I knew that they would have got along well, but they wouldn't, like I said, wouldn't have been able to fully explore that with my presence on the beach. Because of that, and because of my knowledge of not wanting to be in a relationship, I was like, you know what? It doesn't make sense for me to stay here. It doesn't make sense for me to allow your feelings to continue to grow and grow and grow for me when I know that I'm not going to get to the place that you need me to be. I know that you're going to like this other guy, and I know you've been wanting to meet him for a long time, so I'm just going to bow out now, allow you to explore that connection. Well, I left, and then obviously I regretted it. I thought about her a lot. I drove to the Grand Canyon. I reflected. I thought about things. I thought about how if I want to be in a relationship, I'm never going to be good at being in a relationship until I like practice and I try and I work on these things. It's a muscle. If you don't work out the muscle, it's not going to get strong enough to ever, right? Like I said in the show, if I wait until I'm perfect to be in a relationship, I'm going to spend the rest of my life alone. I really do believe that. And so I called one of the producers and I was like, hey, like, I'm sad. Like, I think I made the wrong decision. And I guess we can actually go back a little further. That night on her birthday, I was talking to one of my friends and we were talking about next steps. They were like, well, like, what's going on? Like, what are you doing here? Why are you here? You're making this, you're not making this girl, but like this girl is like falling further for you and further for you. And I was like, you're right. Like, I can see this like getting to the end and me like absolutely crushing her because I've made it very clear I don't want to be in a relationship. And so we concluded that now would be the best time for me to leave.
Yeah, I think going into paradise with the idea that you're not going to leave in a relationship, I think is fine. But once you're down there and you start developing a relationship with someone, then it would have been wrong of you to stay and continue that relationship if you still didn't see you ending up in a committed relationship right after the show.
And I was so set in my conviction of not leaving in a relationship that I wouldn't let anything stand in that way. Like, that was what was paramount for me. I was like, I'm not leaving in a relationship. I don't want to be in a relationship. I'm not leaving in a relationship no matter what my feelings develop like on the beach. And
so the reason I say that too, that I don't think it's bad for anyone to go and not thinking they're going to end up in a relationship is because most of the time people are wrong. And I've noticed that so many times, either my friends in everyday life or going on the show say like, oh, I'm never going to leave in a relationship. I'm not going to date this person, so on and so forth. And then they go on a date with someone. And they're like, wow, actually, I kind of really like this person. Mm-hmm. And they were wrong.
Right.
That's why I say that.
And it's better that I almost prefer it to to meet someone that doesn't want to be in a relationship, because then when you enter into a relationship with them, you know, like they want to be in the relationship because it's you and not because they want to be in a relationship.
Bingo.
So it's almost more romantic in that sense, in my opinion. Anyways, I fly back to San Diego. I call my producer friend and say, Hey, I think I made the wrong choice. I'm really upset. He says, just like, take some time to think about it. If you wake up tomorrow morning and you still feel this way, give me a call and we'll fly you back down to Mexico. So I drove to the Grand Canyon, spent a couple hours out there, just like thinking about things, driving. Obviously, you can clear your mind. Slept on it, called him up the next morning. Actually, that was the morning that I flew here. So I called him up and I was like, I regret my decision and I want to fly back and see if Kaylin will reconsider and take me back. And so he goes, great. I got you booked on a flight. You're leaving tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., whatever it is. So I come here, record a couple podcasts with you guys and fly back. And honestly, it's funny to say this because it worked out perfectly for me. It couldn't have worked out any better for me. I missed a wedding that I, you know, Chris and Crystal are great. Didn't really want to go to their wedding. Not only that, multiple exes of mine were at that wedding that I just didn't want to see. Kaylin at the same time got to explore a relationship with a guy that she was really interested in, unencumbered of my presence. So she didn't have to like have me around seeing, you know, like worrying about my feelings while she could explore her relationship with him. I got to come back and record two episodes of our podcast. Didn't miss a single week of our podcast. It couldn't have worked out any better.
Scheduling was on point that week for Dean.
It literally blew my mind, like how the stars just aligned for all of that stuff. And obviously, like, let's say I went back and I didn't get what I went for, which was the relationship with Kaylin, at least. And you kind of consoled me a lot on this before I left too. You were like, dude, just do it. And like, if she says no, at least you'll know. And if she says yes, then that's great because you want to be in a relationship. But if she says no, like, you know that you put yourself out there, you tried your best and it didn't work out and you can have no regrets about that.
Exactly. And my big point and it was your decision, when you told me this, I thought it was a great idea for you to go back, was that you didn't want to go back into paradise. You wanted to go and say, Kaylin, I want you to leave with me now. And I thought that was a big difference, because if you went back down there and said, hey, I want to come back into paradise and continue dating you, I don't know if that would have been a good look. And if I'm being honest, I don't know if she would have taken you back at that point. But I think you going into paradise and saying, I don't want to be back here. I just want you and I want you to leave with me so we can see if this works outside of here. I think that made her really believe that you were there only for her.
It was a joint decision between me and production. It was one of the things where they were like, this is how it should be. Like, this is what you should do, for the same reasons that you just stated. Like, they were like, you need to ask her to leave with you on the beach. You're not allowed to like stay on the beach and stay. And I was like, that's fine. I understand the reasoning for that. Let's do that. That makes a lot of sense. Obviously, it adds a lot more pressure for her because then she has to leave the beach. And yeah, Kaylin agreed to leave the beach with me. And what's funny is, like, obviously I shaved my mustache off. I wore all black.
Like a damn stud. I was talking to you about this off air. When you walked down those stairs and you had that dark navy short sleeved button down
it was black.
It was black, excuse me. It looked navy. Black button down and just the hair slicked back, long, luscious. It's at the perfect length. Mustache shaved. He walked down the stairs. I was like, Dean could be coming for me and I would go with him.
That's hilarious.
You know?
I was dressed for my own funeral. That's why I was wearing all black. But I showed up, and actually, when I was walking down the stairs onto the sand, it wasn't the normal entrance, which is like basically centered on the beach, right? Like you're familiar with the one that you walk down when you're entering the beach the first time. It was the one all the way at the south end of the beach. And so I had to like walk around, and I had this like long dramatic walk up to the daybed.
Oh, God.
And like people were like pointing at me and stuff like that. And as I was walking down the stairs, I was like, I don't think I should be doing this right now. Like, this is a mistake. I regret being here because I was like terrified that I was there and she was going to say no. And like, I wanted her to say yes and it would just be embarrassing. But I kept reminding myself, I was like, this is the right thing to be doing right now.
Absolutely.
And so I talked to her, and I would say almost immediately after talking to her the first time, like I said on the show too, like I can typically get a pretty good beat on people and I have like a good way to read the room, whatever, but I was still pretty split. Although I was like more confident that she would leave with me than she wouldn't, there were still doubts in my mind that she would stay. And
my favorite moment in Paradise history, I think, happened on this episode.
What?
So Connor is sitting on the daybed with a couple people, and one of those people are Christina. Yeah. And this wasn't this episode, but it was last episode.
Oh, yeah.
And Connor was like, I think she's going to stay with me. Like, I don't think she's going to leave with Dean. And then Christina looks over at Connor and says, have you met Dean? And he goes, no. And she goes, okay. And it was just like that moment where like Christina, who's been through it, who has dated you in the past, knows how charming you are. It was just like such a real moment where I was like, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
I chuckled when I saw that.
Because it was just so good. Have you met Dean? No. Okay. As if like you're dead man walking, bro.
I saw that and I was like, that was like kind of weirdly complimentary of Christina.
It was the biggest compliment anybody could possibly say. Because Connor's a good looking guy, has a lot going for him, is very sweet, very nice. I like Connor a lot, but like in that moment,
I liked him a lot until he started talking shit about my van, and then I didn't like him at all.
I know. Well, I saw that. There was like a little Twitter. I thought that was a joke, but I can't tell.
Well, in the episode, he's just saying, Dean's a fucking loser. He needs to go back to
his
van.
Yeah, he was a jerk. Like, get out of here.
Oh, like, which I'm sure like he was being fed those lines.
Yeah, that's probably prompted too. So you never know if that's actually how he's feeling or if he's just being prompted.
And what's funny is I met him in person at the reunion show, which airs next week. And he was like, dude, I want to see your van. Like, it sounds so sick. Like, you live an awesome lifestyle.
I think a lot of people say dumb stuff when they're angry.
Especially when their ego is being bruised.
Exactly. We've all been jerks in that moment. So like, he shouldn't say those things. Like, he was acting like a jerk in that moment, but yeah, it's understandable.
I guess as a viewer, because I've obviously never been on Paradise, but as a viewer, was it only 1 week that you were on Paradise and then you decided to leave? Because for people who are watching, it really feels like an eternity that you're on the beach together.
I think the first time upon my first arrival, my first date with Caitlin, to me breaking up with her on her birthday was 6 days of spent on the beach. So not very long. Granted, you're spending every waking moment with each other because you have nothing really else to do. I would say like 5 to 6 days, maybe five is more accurate. And then obviously when I was back on the beach, I was on the beach for like an hour. I had a conversation with Caitlin. She left, had the conversation with Connor. She came back, had the conversation with me. She went back and had the conversation with Connor. And then she left with me. I don't remember the specific logistics of that, but I do remember seeing from a distance. She was like I talked to her, which I was kind of surprised she even took the time to come talk with me. And she made it clear after the fact. She was like, yeah, like, I wasn't going to come talk to you. Like, I wasn't even going to entertain a conversation with you because I was just like still pissed off at you. But then she said that she saw that I shaved the mustache and she was like, okay, cool.
I could talk to him now.
And then she goes back and she like pulls Connor aside to go talk to him. And Connor's like walking away shirtless. And I like see like more back muscles than I've ever seen on a person in my life. And I was like,
very Jack
wow,
man.
That guy is, I was literally 100 yards away from him. And I saw his muscles so finely and so acutely. And I was like, this guy is, there's no way she's going to leave with me. She's going to leave with this guy. So it was like this weird back and forth, and I was so confused, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen. And while Caitlin was talking to Connor, Christina came over to talk to me. And when Christina came over to talk to me, I was like, "Just you have no reason, you have no point being here. Like, you shouldn't be here talking to me right now." So I was like, I don't know if you can tell by watching the episode, but I was like super dismissive and very short with Christina being there because it just didn't make sense for.
Well, it was a situation that didn't involve her.
Yeah.
And she was involving herself.
She was inserting herself in something that didn't involve her, exactly. And look, yes, of course, Christina and I have dated before, so maybe she knows better than anyone on that beach what it's like to date me. But I just didn't see the purpose of her coming over. And
it would have been weird if she was having a conversation about potentially leaving with a guy and you went over and talked to Christina and started like heckling her.
So I didn't like that.
Weird.
So if you saw me being short or dismissive, that's why. I just like it didn't make sense to me why she was there. I went there to talk to Kaylin. I didn't go there to talk to Christina. So I didn't want to be talking to her. You know what I mean? I get what Christina was trying to do in a sense, but at the same time, it wasn't her place. And then what happened?
So how did it feel once Kaylin said, "I'll leave with you"?
It felt great. I got what I wanted, which is always a good feeling. I think that she got what she wanted. You know, going all the way back, Kaylin DM'd me a year and a half ago to try and meet up for coffee. Obviously, like, nothing transpired between then and going to Paradise, but like, she expressed interest a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And so for her, I'm not going to speak for her, but I guess I am right now. She wanted to meet me.
I'm not
going to
speak for her, but I'm going
to
do it anyway.
Like, she's getting what she wanted too. And so it was a weird, like, fairy tale-ish romantic ending to a weird way of going about dating each other. And yes, like, maybe being able to remove myself from Paradise for a couple days and like drive and like explore my thoughts and like talk to my friends and see what they thought, it allowed me to like have more clarity and perspective on a situation to let me go back and be like, look, I'm not gonna tell you that I have all the answers to this relationship. It's probably gonna be difficult and we're probably gonna stumble through a lot of this stuff. We're not very similar in a lot of ways, but I want to try, and if you're willing to try with me, I think that we should give it a go.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest part about jumping into a relationship is knowing that you're never gonna have the answers. Mm-hmm. You know, a commitment is choice. You're choosing to be someone. You're choosing to be with someone. Uh-huh. And so I think a lot of people, like yourself, Dean, sometimes when you feel like you don't have all the answers, or if there is a small amount of doubt in your head, that immediately makes you run away because that scares you. But the fact is, most likely in every relationship, there will be those moments. I mean, you're only human. And so I think it's really, I thought it was, when you first told me you were going to do it, I loved it. And I still love it. And I think it was the right decision. And I think it was the best thing for you and Kaylin, because you would have never known what could have possibly happened had you not gone back down to Paradise. And look at you now. Now you guys are together dating. It's been two months.
Well, and I thought about it too. So a couple of my good friends one good friend from the show, one of my best friends removed from, like, that wasn't part of the show ever. I talked to both of them for like quite a while, like a couple hours while I was driving. You know, obviously it's just what you do is just drive and talk. And both of them were like, don't go back, man. Like, it doesn't make sense for you to go back. Why would you go back? You can just DM her and talk to her when she gets off the show. And I was thinking about it. I was like, well, no, like I saw how interested she was in meeting Connor the first time. Like, she expressed that to me. B, I saw how quickly our relationship grew over such a short amount of time, similar time frame for her and him. And so like 99.9% chance they leave the show in a relationship together. And so I was like, yeah, I could wait until the show's over and done filming, but she's probably going to be dating someone. And then it's like, also, if a relationship started on TV, I think it almost kind of makes more sense for me to come back and be like, this is like this sort of unfinished business, and it started here, so we need to finish it here as well. There'd be like a lot of unanswered questions if it happened off. It would be like much more tricky and hairier. And so I was like, the only logical thing for me to do right now is to go back.
Yeah, and the most valuable thing we have is time. Why waste it? Why waste time in you thinking, oh, I'll wait till she gets back and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. And
a lot can happen in between then.
It was like 50-50 for a long time too. I was like, yeah, I'll just wait. I even sent her a long message on Instagram, actually. And then I was like, that. I'm sorry, language. I said,
so
that.
Passionate.
and yeah. So I sent her.
I enjoyed when you told her that you wanted to stop running away from good things in your life. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, this is a side of Dean that we all love, that we all see. And now he's starting to see it in him too.
Yeah.
And I remember when we did that one episode when we were in San Francisco, I had like a bunch of notes about when you left, and I was like, oh my God. And then for me, I think when it stung for me, I remember who said it on the episode, someone was like, oh, that's Dean though. Like it was like when you had left and you had broke her heart and whatever. Uh-huh. I don't remember who had said it, but anyway, I was like, oh, I hate the fact that you gave yourself that reputation. I hate the fact that you allow other people to talk about you like that when we all know, the people who know you and love you all know that you are so worthy of this love and so worthy of a person who's going to stick by you and leave a dating show with you when, you know, she was interested in someone else too. So it, like you said, everything did happen for a reason and all worked out in the way that it did. I just hope the takeaway for you was that you are deserving of this.
I appreciate that, Vanessa. Thank you. I don't really know how to properly respond to that, but I did make a point. I even told Caitlin this after we left. I was like, honest, because we left with maybe like 6 or 7 days of filming remaining on the filming schedule. And part of me was like, well, if she didn't want to leave the beach because she wanted to stay to get more screen time, quote unquote, or whatever, you know what I mean? Then that's all the answer that I would need anyways. Because
exactly.
If she wanted more screen time, then she's not the girl that I want to be dating anyway.
Mm-hmm. I think by you going to Paradise, you created so much clarity from the situation that would not have been there had you simply sent a DM when she got back.
I'm so surprised that production even allowed me to return, to be honest. They were like obviously encouraging of it. They were like, yeah, if you like the girl, come back and get her. But I was like, that's crazy to me that you guys are even letting me do this, right?
Why? It's great
dramatic.
Drama. What are you talking about?
Of course, it's good drama. But when have you ever seen a contestant leave and then come back? I'm just saying I don't think it's ever really happened before.
When did you ever see a girl in a relationship with another girl?
It's true. It's a
lot. There's a lot of firsts in this season.
We're pioneers. So we left together and then we got back, spent a couple nights in the van. I think I can talk about all that stuff right now, right?
We could talk about whatever you want.
And then we travel to... The thing about me and Caitlin is like we're so different.
Well, how's the relationship been since you left Paradise together?
I mean, it's been great. So it's like, obviously it's been turbulent at times. Like she's been through her fair share of the drama this season. And like it sucks having to like be part of that from a third party perspective. But like obviously I'm supporting her through that. And I'm like trying to remind her that like... there's a lot of good that's come from the season.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry. I didn't know what you were talking about first. Yeah, gotcha.
And so, like, it's hard to see her, like, handle a lot of stuff. And obviously, I'm going to bat for her because she's my girlfriend. And
God, that feels like forever ago.
It does feel like forever ago. And I kept telling her, I was like, people are going to forget about this in, like, a week, in 2 weeks. Like,
I know,
no one's
but in
care.
That moment, that's not what you want to hear. In that moment, when you're going through that drama, it's like you think everyone's reading about it. You think everyone's talking about you. And, yeah, like, maybe 5% of the followers that are following you know and are talking about it. Yeah. But that's not what you want to hear.
And it's tough to be rational in that moment because, yes, I agree, everybody forgets about it in 2 weeks. But in that moment, it's your world.
No, I agree. I understand.
Yeah. But it's but you're right, but it's not easy.
And so we've like traveled a bunch together as individuals. We're pretty different. We're working on her adventurous side, you know? So it's like, it's been great, but just as humans, we're a little bit different. And so it's just like the discovery phase of like, what do you like? What don't you like? What can we do? What can't we do?
That's fun.
Exactly. It's fun. And every couple is going to have their disconnects. Like every couple is not going to mesh well perfectly together and like sink right into each other's lives. Like I like to live in a van and rock climb and she, you know, lives in West Hollywood and likes to hang out with her friends, which is great. And I just like, it's a learning process to learn how to be supportive and present for her and vice versa, her for me. But things are going well. Like I think I went back to the show to basically show that I'm committed to figuring it out.
And I think you'll learn. I mean, trust me, you've been in relationships before. With committed relationships comes compromise and sacrifice. But that's not necessarily, I feel like there's a stigma on those two words that it has to be a negative thing when it really doesn't. And that's something I've discovered over the past almost 2 years now, of really learning that compromise can be a positive thing. I don't know. It kind of, I think it shows a different side of me than I've really ever known before, that makes sense.
I'm trying to think of the compromises that we've made for each other.
Well, what I'm talking about is like you want to live in a van and travel and do all these things, but there are going to be times when she needs you to be somewhere and you have to be there because you're her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And so that's something to me that's a compromise, but it shows stability. Yeah. It shows responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I look at that as a positive rather than a negative.
Yeah.
So hold on. To clear the air for a second. So Dean.
Is the air muddied?
Deed Unkler. No, it's not, but I'm gonna ask you a question right now.
Oh,
and I just need a verbal yes or a verbal no. Dean. Deanie Babies. Dean Unkler. Since the beginning of this podcast, Help I Suck at Dating with Dean Unkler, a year and a half ago, you've been a single man.
Whoa.
Are you in a relationship?
Yes.
Yay!
But I've been in a relationship before on this podcast. Leslie.
Oh, Leslie. Damn it. I forgot about Leslie.
Well, this is the first time we're all committed.
Still exciting.
And it's
we're
very
happy
exciting.
For Dieter.
I have a girlfriend. I will say that I don't know if I should share this or not, but I will. We've taken the biggest step I've ever taken in a relationship.
Whenever you say that, share it. Wait, really? Wait, what's the biggest step?
The biggest step I've ever taken in a relationship. And I don't even know if you and Ashley have taken this step yet.
I mean, I f***ing hope so.
I don't think Vanessa and Josh have taken it either. I'm sure Mark and his wife and Easton and his wife have, but...
You guys in a thruple or something? What's going on?
Kaylin and I, as of yesterday, are on a cell phone plan together.
Wow.
God.
Wow.
That's a commitment.
It's a 2-year commitment.
2 years?
You're married.
Wow. 2 years?
Wow.
It's a 2-year commitment.
You signed on the dotted line, huh?
Yeah. So it's we're both on Verizon together.
Dude, that's a more of a commitment than proposing to someone.
Yeah, so it's a big step.
Verizon, huh?
Vanessa, are you on a plan with the Silver Fox?
No, absolutely not. Wow.
I'm not on a plan with Ashley.
There you go.
Wow.
I'm not on a plan with my wife either.
You're not?
No.
Shut the heck up.
Actually, I'm not either.
Wait, really?
Wow. Wait, what? Wow. How are you? How are you not on the same plan?
Because iHeart takes care of me.
Oh,
okay, that's pretty.
So they're
cool.
On, yeah.
Well, Dean, congratulations on being on the same phone bill.
Yeah, I keep telling her, I'm like, what happens when we break up? Because that's going to be weird. But...
Oh, that's depressing.
You're all romantic.
Always just turn it on a dark mood.
So yeah, I don't really know how much of it I can share again because we still have the reunion episode next week, which we won't talk about next week. We can maybe talk about it in Vegas the following week.
I don't know
if ABC is going to get upset with me for sharing this stuff because technically we still might not be together.
Can you have her on and you guys can talk about it together?
I'm never going to have her as a guest on this podcast.
Whoa.
Shut up. She's coming on.
No, that's not negotiable.
Stop the clock.
That's not negotiable.
I'll slide into her DMs and invite her myself.
One, if you really wanted that to happen, why would you ever say that on air?
It's not negotiable.
Why?
Past girlfriends have come in here?
Yeah, exactly. And they're f***ing past girlfriends. Sorry, language.
No, that's not. Wait, that's not why.
They're past girlfriends.
Why would you not want her on here?
I don't know. I just like, I don't need other people from the outside looking in, judging a relationship that I'm happy in. So it's like, I'm just
aren't they
going
to judge it even more if you say on air, I don't want her on the podcast?
I don't care. I don't want her on the podcast.
We're going to fly
her. You haven't
had
Ashley on the podcast yet?
No, but she's more than welcome. It's all because it's too much Ashley and Jared. You know, we need some separation here.
The point of the story is it's a non-negotiable. She's never going to be a guest on this podcast. And that
okay, we'll have her on when you're not on. It'll be Jared and I and Kaylin.
Sure. I guess I don't mind that. I just like don't want us to be together.
Because we could just fly her to Montreal and have her in that room with Vanessa. There's nothing you could do about it.
Yeah, one-on-one girl talk.
I could certainly just walk out the door. what were we getting to there? Anyways, yes.
That was,
we have to take a break here before
ABC.
We do anything else.
So that's basically the extent of the relationship. I'm sure I forgot a bunch of things. I've been working on clearly communicating my thoughts and ideas more, but I still struggle with it. So if you have any more questions about it, please email us, helpisuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. I would love to answer questions about the relationship. If you have any questions about Jared and Ashley's wedding or honeymoon, help I suck.
Or just our relationship as a married couple.
Yeah.
I think that could be very relatable as a newly husband and wife.
I love it. isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com.
And the same thing with Vanessa, too. Vanessa's currently in a relationship. We're all in relationships.
Yeah. Look at us.
Can we change the name of the
three
podcast?
Relationships. Only one of them has a shared cell phone plan. I wonder which one. I'm just kidding. Anyways, if you have any questions about Vanessa and Josh's relationship, what it's like dating in Canada versus America, what could be the differences in dating? You know, some eat poutine, some eat ketchup on their french fries. isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. We want your questions. We want to be able to answer them. And, you know, we sometimes bulldoze over things like unintentionally. But like if you have a thought or an idea that we talked about that you want us to expand upon, isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. Email us and we'll answer them on air.
Yeah, we always love feedback. We love the Facebook group, Help I Suck at Dating podcast. You can follow us on social media on Instagram, Help I Suck at Dating.
Jared recently took over the reins for the Help I Suck at Dating Instagram page, and it's been doing very well.
I think we've gained a couple hundred followers.
Yeah, I'm really happy.
Is that why there was a football post the other day?
But didn't
well, that make sense?
I thought that was a great post because I found him and his Broncos and then me and my Patriots. And then I was like, or are you like Vanessa and you could give a rat's ass and you just live your best life. And then it was a picture with you and a red nose.
Yeah, it was amazing.
You're doing a great job of
managing. Thanks, guys. I need that moral support. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, so we are going to answer one email via listener. But before we do that, we are going to take one quick break and dive right into it.
I should probably go.
All right, we are back, and we have a listener email that our beloved Mark is going to read for
us. That's so nice. It's anonymous. She says, I've been dating my boyfriend for a few months now. He won't say I love you over text message. He was the first to say it out loud, and when he first said it, I felt it might have been too soon, but I said it back anyway. I'm comfortable saying it now. He has no problem saying it to me when we're together, but apparently he has an issue with typing it out over a text. Do you think this is something I should bring up, or should I let this go?
Hi, I'm a red flag. It's very nice to meet you.
What do you think it is? Do you think he's hiding something, or do you think
I think he's hiding something. Huh. Vanessa, imagine Josh coming up to you every day and saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then you go to text him saying, I love you. And he's like, well, I can't write it in text message.
She's what? Not saying
that. No, but
that.
I want to know what their conversation is like. Does he just not say it and she never approached him about it and never brought it up? Or he just...
I think she should bring it up.
An excuse.
I don't think she should bring it. I think this is fine, honestly.
Well, it says that apparently he has an issue with typing it over text. I'm assuming she's saying that because they have talked about it.
Yeah, that's weird.
No, I don't think so. Judging by how it was read, I think that he just says it in person and he doesn't type it. And because of that, I don't think that there's really any harm in being like, hey, like, why don't you just say you love me on text, but you say it in person, right?
Yeah, I don't mind her saying that.
What else?
Well, she has to. Sorry, I assume they already had this conversation.
Maybe they did. I mean, maybe they did. I just, from reading it, it doesn't sound like it to me.
I don't think that she has said anything about it. I think she's looking for our advice first.
Look, at the very end, she says, do you think this is something I should bring up with him?
Oh, okay. Never mind.
She didn't, right.
Yeah. So maybe it's not as big as a red flag as I thought.
Just bring it up. Maybe there's a reason. Maybe his L button is broken on his phone or something like that.
It's probably a really silly thing. I don't think this is a major red flag. I don't. If he's telling you he loves you, I think that's good. I don't think he's worried about other people seeing it in his phone. I think that's a stretch.
No, I agree.
Well, the only reason I initially thought it was a bad sign is if he verbally said, oh, I have a tough time texting it, because then you just don't want any ink, you know, makes me question, why would you not want anybody to see that?
I'll bet you
I'll
bet you when you bring it up with the guy, he's probably going to be like, I didn't even realize. I probably didn't even realize I was wasn't saying I love you.
Well, now I'm a schmuck.
Yeah. I think it might just make him uncomfortable. There's a sweetness to it that he might not be cool with. I don't know. It could be a stupid reason, but I think he's
totally oblivious to the fact that he's not even saying it via text message. And once you bring it up with him, he'll be like, oh, more cognizant of the idea and say, I love you via text.
Yeah. I don't think it's a big deal.
Real quick, Laura has a question for Dean. She has a 31-year-old son who is interested in pursuing a nomadic life.
Nice.
Problem is, he has trouble getting off the hamster wheel of working a full-time job all day, pedicabbing in Boston at night. There you go, Jared. To make ends meet in an expensive city, plus he has to pay off his college loans. How can you launch a nomadic lifestyle and still make ends meet?
I got the reason. I got the secret sauce right here.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Just go on The Bachelorette.
Become an influencer.
Simple as that. I honestly, I don't really have any advice for him, because that's honestly the only reason I was able to do it, is because I was always kind of stuck on that hamster wheel as well, living paycheck to paycheck. And then I went on The Bachelorette, and I swear to God, I hit the lottery and started to be able to do things that I wanted to do. And one of those was move into a van full time. I know it's like a kind of an unconventional way of doing that. And like, there really isn't much advice to be. It's like I hit the lottery, basically. You can't give someone advice on how to hit the lottery. You know
just
what I mean?
I got lucky.
I got very, very lucky. And it sucks, because I get asked that question often, like via Instagram and Twitter and stuff. And they're like, hey, like, this is my lifestyle. I want to live more like you. How do I do it? And I can't really answer it. And just because I don't really have an answer for them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it sucks. You got to kind of prioritize things and figure out what you want in life. Because if you do want to try to make ends meet and save up and potentially buy a house one day, then you might have to continue what you're doing. But if you really don't see that as a priority and your main priority is living your life right now and traveling and see all the places that you want to see, then you might not make as much money as you hope. But I think that's the best advice I could give you right now is to try to figure out what your end goal is and work towards that. Because unfortunately, we're all going to leave this earth at some point. So you want to make sure you do the things that you want most. Because I think, you know, hopefully many, 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 many years from now, when you're on your deathbed and looking back on your life, I don't think, you know, pedicabbing in Boston is probably going to be the first one that comes to mind. So, you know, money is important in this life, but...
It is, but also we all have a different definition of what success is.
Exactly.
So maybe success for him is his level of happiness and freedom. And maybe he just needs a break, a 1 year, 2 year thing, and then get back into the hustle and bustle of a 9-to-5 job. So
totally.
I don't know.
I think it's good advice, Vanessa.
We're going to end this podcast, but I'm going to end it on a quote, one that I found just the other day that my friend posted on her Instagram. And I think it's appropriate via this email that we just received. It is short It says, one life, just one. Why aren't we running like we are on fire towards our wildest dreams? And so for Laura, to your son, I think you should tell him that. Just be like, look, if you want to do this, do it. Because you only get one life, as Jared said. We're not going to be here forever.
And if you fail, then you fail. And there's nothing wrong with that. And like you said, failure is... it's looked upon in different reasons. If you go after the things you want in life and you don't achieve them, that's not failure to me.
Yeah.
Failure would be not trying.
Oof, that was deep.
I love that.
All right, well,
you can be such a good dad.
That'll do it for this week's episode of Help.
I need to practice what I preach.
Probably soon.
Thank you guys for tuning in. A big thank you to ZipRecruiter and all of the other sponsors on this podcast. Big thank you to Tori, Mark, and Easton, our wonderful producers. Big thank you to Jared for getting married and providing content for us for this
anytime,
podcast.
Guys. Anytime.
Vanessa, thank you Skyping all the way in from Montreal. And big thank you to me for being so vulnerable and just wonderful.
And amazing and charming and good looking and funny.
Next week, we have a couple of great guests. We got Neve Schulman from MTV
Catfish.
We have Nicole Lappin, who is an incredible author, and she will be talking about her new book, Becoming Superwoman. And then after that, we're going to be heading to Vegas, and we're going to be recording live from there.
Vegas.
From the blackjack table. So be sure to tune in then when maybe we might just suck a little bit less.
Follow Help by Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.